There will be ushers at each of the doors to receive the Gideon offering, and I trust that you will not just give that offering and then forget about the Gideons, but you'll do what Larry's asked us to do, and that is to pray. This is the distribution of God's word, and it's going on a year-round basis, and I am ever so grateful for it. Let's imagine this morning that I've just tossed into your hands a hot potato. Now, I can assure you that a hot potato is something that demands a response. After a few seconds of juggling that hot potato from hand to hand, you're going to find out that's not really a very good solution. And then you're going to look and see on either side of you, if there are people pushed up against you, it's going to be sort of harder just to put it down in the pew beside you. But if you leave it there very long and it begins to burn into your flesh, you may just decide to panic and throw that potato wherever it goes, because wherever it goes, it's going to be better than it would be if it were in your hands. Hot potatoes demand quick response. The gospel of Jesus Christ is a spiritual hot potato. The parable that sits before us this morning was presented to the congregation of Jesus' day as a spiritual hot potato. When he offered it to this Palestinian congregation a long time ago, it had within it fire, the heat enough to burn the conscience of those who were listening, fire in it toward those who were indifferent to what Jesus had to say, to show them the inadequacy of their response to this seed that was being sown among them. Let me tell you what we are often prone to forget, and that is about the heat within the gospel. It is given to humankind from God with every intention of forcing us to deal with its presence. If the message you hear from the pulpit or from God's word doesn't have heat within it, it probably isn't fully the gospel. If you somehow have learned to take the steam out of that potato, you toss it into the back shelf in the refrigerator and you forget all about it until it has cooled down, it probably is not going to have a lot of interest or demand much response out of you. So how do I know this? Because that's the way we handle hot potatoes. If we can avoid them, we do so. For example, if your spouse is upset with you and they aren't hesitant about letting you know that they're out of sorts with you, then what do you do? Well, you lay low for a day or two. You try to keep at arm's distance until the fire has gone out of the hot potato, and you can get back in some semblance of relationship. Or if you have an explosive problem in the office, what do? You may decide that just best to let it ride for a few days to see if it will resolve itself and you won't have to confront the issue. Now, if you picture Jesus in front of this audience that day, simply smiling at them, telling them lighthearted stories, telling them stories that will entertain them, maybe taking the children aside with a few fables of the day. If you see him simply trying to comfort rather than confront, then you've missed the whole point of this text. This is a story with the possibility of bringing intense heat into our lives. It is a story of confrontation and condemnation that flows from it. It's my contention we really won't understand this parable until we reinsert the heat within it. And the best way I know to do that is to kind of quickly summarize for you what Jesus was really saying to them. Had you sat in Jesus' congregation that day and heard him speaking to you, these are the words that you would have heard from him. He would be saying to you that this gospel that I'm sharing with you is the truth of God. It is coming to you from God himself. It has within it the power to change your life. And some of you are treating it with great indifference. Some of you aren't even listening to what I'm saying to you. You've got your mind fixed elsewhere. You're wondering what you're going to have for lunch. You're going to wonder what you're going to be doing the next day. And some of you are no better off because you've heard this word. You're all excited here, but the truth is, once you walk away from here, the excitement of our gathering is going to be passing. And you're going to have your mind on other things. You're not allowing this word to go deep into your heart and make serious changes in your life, and so this gospel's not really doing you much good at all. And some of you are so steeply ingrained in your everyday activity. It's just the daily matters of life and living that you're like a weed patch. Gospel hadn't have a Chinaman's chance in making a difference in your life. I want to suggest to you that if we are to take this word of God, then we have got to reinsert within it the heat of the gospel so that we truly start to hear what Jesus says. Has to say. And so he's saying to us, the heat of the gospel is always going to generate heat with great regularity. Jesus says people are hearing the word of God and turning away unchanged. Now, does that concern you? You see, I think what's happened to us is this. If we go fishing and we catch a single fish, we celebrate. If we have one person that comes and makes a decision, we celebrate, which is we should, but what do we concern ourselves with all those others who come and hear and turn away without changed lives? What happened to the attitude of the good shepherd? For the good shepherd, we remember, had 99 safely within the fold and went out looking for that one that was not within the fold. But with us, if we get one in the fold, we let the other 99 outside the fold go unattended. So we need to understand what Jesus is saying here, that we are not to grow satisfied. We've established a new rule in football called excessive celebration. Ask the University of Georgia about it, and they will explain it to you. Excessive celebration is when your team has scored a touchdown. And instead of just doing the right thing, going on with the game, you start to strut like a peacock all over the end zone, and you start to taunt the opposing team, and you call attention to yourself by that. Well, it is a major violation now. It's a 15-yard penalty for doing excessive celebration. I think sometimes we in the church are guilty of excessive celebration. We accomplish one little thing, and we take that and we celebrate that over and over again when there are many, many undone things that should be calling us to do the work that is before us. Are you and I concerned as Jesus was concerned? You see, the whole heart of this parable is Jesus was not focused as you and I might focus on that seed that fell and produced 30, 60, or 100 fold. He was concerned to say to those who were listening to him, you aren't making the response to the gospel. And his heart went out to them that they were not changing. Their hearts were not being redeemed because of it. Now let me suggest to you, we aren't going to feel the heat of the Lord's passion for the lost until we get rid of two categories. Now this is going to take a little thinking on your part. We've divided humanity along a long straight line, and on the one side of the sheep and the other side of the goats. On the one side are altogether good, and on the other side are the altogether bad. And I personally think we need to get rid of that kind of thinking, because here's what I think. At this extreme is the kingdom of God, and at this extreme is lost condition. In between those, two poles of extremes are humanity. And humanity is there, it's struggling. There are people, as Jesus would describe them in this parable, who have no idea what to do with their lives. They are mired down in the things of this world. making no progress toward one goal. They're just trying to get through the day. Tomorrow they will be no closer to the kingdom of God than they are today. They will be as lost tomorrow as they are today. There are people who have all their focus on just the everyday matters of life. Earning a living, taking care of food, and all these kinds of things without any entrance into the kingdom of God, any awareness that they must need to make that decision. So what I think you and I need to see is we are to be in there in that sea of chaos. We're not to be sitting on a hill someplace looking down on humanity in all of its human struggles and all of its lostness and without the heat, you see, removed. Looking down and wondering, well, will they ever make it or not? Our invitation from Jesus in this parable is that by getting involved in the lives of those who are around us, those who come close to the kingdom but don't find it, you might make a difference. You're speaking to them. You're encouraging them. You're showing an interest in them. Might be the very thing, the only thing that will make a difference. You see, the difference to me between those who are in the kingdom, those who are not, is we know the direction of the flow. Are we there yet? In this parable, you have to locate yourself. You have to find yourself. Are you that person who takes this gospel and makes an absolute no response to it? No, you're not that person. But at the other extreme, can you honestly say, I'm that person who is producing 30, 60, or 100-fold? And there aren't many of us could say that. So to make this a dynamic experience, to make this parable with a heat in it and have something to say to us, then we've got to see ourselves in this great humanity's mix, swimming, climbing, working, reaching out, because we know the direction our lives need to flow toward the kingdom of God. And the invitation is for us to be there beside those who are working every day, perhaps losing their way, perhaps not knowing. We're the rescuers. We are the ones who Jesus has called out to be there to help someone who's stuck in the mud, mired down, and to pull them out and help to become a rescuer. This parable, you see, dislodges us from the position that altogether good and altogether bad, because none of us are altogether good and none of us altogether bad, but we have the gospel and we have an opportunity to help those who don't see that, to reach out and gain that. You see, the steam is coming off this parable. It's still there. And the steam does reach the good guys. It reaches each and every one of us and encourages us to dream a new vision and see the world around us and the human struggle in a very different way. If there are people who are not making the response, can your efforts make a difference? Let me assure you that Jesus never told a story simply to entertain. And never did he tell a story that not issue in an invitation of hope for those who heard it. There might be condemnation in what Jesus had to say, even in this parable. But when you listen, you know that the message is the message of hope, that any one of us can become that productive person in the kingdom, planting the seed, helping those who need that seed to move forward. If this parable does nothing else for us, it is addressed at us to dislodge us from that place of complacency about the gospel. Its emphasis is upon awakening truth in the gray areas of response and regarding the word of God. There should be alarm sounding in our hearts because people around us have some interest in the gospel, but have never come to know Jesus Christ. We could put it in another way. We haven't made all the response to the gospel that we are invited to make. We are invited to step from where we are into that stream. Try to picture yourself, if you will, in this congregation of Jesus. You hear Jesus describing these different responses to the word that's sown among them, and you immediately start to struggle with the response that you are making. Not the response that you have made, because that's to miss the point, but the response you are making right now, the response you will make as the word is given to you today. To have once been receptive to the gospel is not a guarantee that we are always receptive to the gospel. So I want you to conclude with just this thought. Were you once more acutely aware of your shortcomings and your failures? And were you at a time able to rejoice when you felt some sense of spiritual victory? You did the right thing for the right reason. You stood up for the right cause. And you felt a celebration in yourself because of that. Was there a time when giving your money to the church brought you a real sense of satisfaction? Was there a time when inviting an unchurched friend to accompany you to Sunday school, to worship, had you all excited because they were coming? Was there a time when you opened the scriptures in your private place, and in reading them, you discovered yourself sitting in the very presence of God Himself, and you had a tingling of the spine? Was there a time when you prayed, you just knew God was there with you? You see, that's the way we must live in relationship to this word. Not as though it all happened to us back then, but as though every day we live, we are in that great humanity that is struggling to be God's people. And you and I, because we've had this experience in Jesus Christ, are to be the rescuers, the encouragers. We are to be the dispensers of God's word to those who have no idea what direction to flow. Pray with me. Father, we thank you for the invitation that's ours in this, a gospel hot potato, for it draws us to consider again the parable, the words of Jesus, and causes us to want to be close to your heart and to respond in such a way that that one person that we know who's not in the kingdom, who's turned their back on it, to go back to them and to offer a hand, a hope, a heart's concern. We thank you this day for your word, for every word of God is a good word, a redemptive word, and this word comes to us in the same way today, to redeem us from our complacency, from our self-satisfaction, to call us before those in need, to see them as struggling and needing our help. May we make the right response today, our Father, to the word that is ours. In Jesus' name, amen. Number 3.